Who says Halloween only lasts one day? With Wayfair, one night of Halloween becomes a whole season at home. From larger-than-life yard decor and moody lighting to festive accents for every room in the house, Wayfair has what you need to make Halloween feel like magic all in one place. Because the best Halloween memories aren't made in just one night. They're made all season long. Shop Halloween decor now at Wayfair.com. That's Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take for August 10th, 2025. I'm your host, Blois Olson. And as I said last week, this week we're going to focus on agriculture, the ag economy. Coming off of Farm Fest this week, I spent 2 days there and really, you know, talked to a lot of people about the future of the rural economy, where we're at with the farm economy. Members of Congress were there talking about the big, beautiful bill. And the potential for a skinny farm bill. All of this is a bit of a barometer check of rural Minnesota and rural America on Trump's popularity. I will say that, you know, obviously farmers aren't homogeneous voters. They may lean towards the conservative side, but they also understand policy. They're sophisticated. They know where trade policy, product demand, prices sit today. And it's a very important consideration as they think about their politics. Now, traditionally, the Farm Bill included nutrition programs, but the big bill, as labeled by Republicans, the big, beautiful bill, included those nutrition programs. And there were cuts to SNAP, which is supplemental nutrition programs. Think of food supports for lower income people. Much of that was always popular in the Farm Bill because a certain amount of that money naturally went to producers, food, ag. And so there was this bipartisan coalition that has passed several farm bills in a row. And that coalition now is in question with the supplemental nutrition program being taken out of the farm bill and put in that big bill. And so for those following along at home or on the farm, legislators are now trying to move a skinny farm bill, quote unquote. Angie Craig from Minnesota is the ranking Democrat on the House Ag Committee. That gives her a lot of power in negotiations. It gives her a seat at the table with the Republican chairman. Representative Brad Finstead is also on the Ag Committee, chairs a subcommittee. And then you have Amy Klobuchar, who's the ranking senator on the Senate Ag Committee for Democrats. So Minnesota has a lot of pull in the Farm Bill, which it kind of outkicks its coverage. But what people need to know is that agriculture is the second largest driver after healthcare of Minnesota's economy. that we are an OutKick, our coverage producer of corn and soybeans. We're growing and have opportunities to grow in pigs. We're number one in the country in turkeys. Cattle could grow more, but there's evidence and illustration that this is one of those issues that creates a little tension between greater Minnesota, ag community, environmentalists, and metro-minded legislators who may think they have a better idea of what is the big topic. And so as you look at ag policy, you can't look at ag policy without thinking about other issues in rural Minnesota. And that's where I want this show to end, is as a little bit of a preview of the issues in 2026 in rural Minnesota. Ag prices, production, environment, cost, input costs, all going to be a part of the discussion for ag. But rural Minnesota is also struggling in healthcare, in workforce. And so you look at federal ag policy, state ag policy, you look at trade dynamics, you look at prices, and then you look at the other issues of healthcare, infrastructure, workforce. And you have some reflections of issues that also apply in the suburbs, the exurbs, in the metro, especially healthcare. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through some of the conversations from FarmFest, some excerpts from members of Congress, trade representatives, people in higher ed, to talk about how do they see solving some of the challenges of greater Minnesota. So that's the plan. When we come back, excerpts from a panel at FarmFest about congressional policy and the idea of a skinny farm bill. I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCC. Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blois Olson.
Who says Halloween only lasts one day? With Wayfair, one night of Halloween becomes a whole season at home. From larger-than-life yard decor and moody lighting to festive accents for every room in the house, Wayfair has what you need to make Halloween feel like magic all in one place. Because the best Halloween memories aren't made in just one night. They're made all season long. Shop Halloween decor now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80 plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over a million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
"You with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50?
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
What I'm going to play next is an excerpt from FarmFest, and it's first Representative Angie Craig, ranking member of the House Ag Committee, and then Brad Finstead, talking about the challenges of the Farm Bill and the coalition that used to exist in the Farm Bill and whether or not it's in jeopardy. What I want to take away from this conversation is that Representative Finstead and Representative Craig are of different parties, but there is a working dialogue on these issues, and they may give each other some barbs, but think about and listen to how focused they are on how they can get it done rather than what's not getting done, which is usually the cable news version. Here is Representative Craig and Representative Finstead from FarmFest about the Farm Bill.
Well, let me start with the level of commitment that Pete Stauber demonstrates by wearing a Twins hat today. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate that. I'm demonstrating optimism. I was with at the Vikings training camp last night, so it was a lot of fun in Eagan. Next steps with the Farm Bill. It's a great question, because a lot of the funding that should have been in the Farm Bill was actually in the reconciliation package. And I started my comments by saying I supported the funding that went into the reconciliation package that should have been in the Farm Bill. I just wish it had been part of the Farm Bill process. There's still some work to do, clearly. We got to reauthorize CRP. That's in a traditional farm bill. It's not in a reconciliation package. The farm loan programs are set to expire in September. That needs to happen. We've got to increase access to the REAP program, in my opinion. That still needs to happen. We need to expand access to specialty crops. That needs to happen. All of that would have been done in a traditional farm bill. With that said, I am in conversation both with the new members of my committee. I've got a bunch of what we call freshmen. It's really odd to be elected to Congress, and no matter how old you are or how many years you've worked in another industry, you're called a freshman when you come into Congress. So I've got five or six freshman members on the Ag Committee that I've asked for their input. What would they like to see in the so-called skinny farm bill that the Chairman Thompson, has proposed? Chairman Thompson and I, we sit down every few weeks over breakfast. No staff, no other committee members. And I've committed to continuing no matter what happened in reconciliation. Zippy, I committed that to you and I'm doing it. I committed to sit down and do that. Look, there are items that should have been done in a farm bill that we still need to work on. So where I've left it with the chairman for now is that I'm working with my colleagues to understand what their priorities would be in a skinny farm bill. He's got a number of freshmen on the committee. He's doing the same thing. And then I would expect our teams to begin talking about whether or not we can move forward with a skinny farm bill. I want to make sure, though, if we do that, that we have some commitments. We just saw in Congress, commitments and bills that had already been signed into law, hard-fought negotiations with Republicans and Democrats, 2 weeks after reconciliation, about the administration sent a rescission package to us. So what guarantees, if we sit down and do a skinny farm bill, do we have that the administration is not going to wake up the next week and decide to rescind the parts of it they didn't like? And I tell you, the trust factor here is really low in the Congress. And, you know, I always tease my friend Brad here that, you know, we don't always like each other, but, you know, we keep working together and we still love each other as people and human beings and choose to find the things that we have in common. And I think that's what you see in a Minnesota delegation. At least that's what we try to do. And Mark, I'm at the table with Republicans looking for a way forward, but there's a real lack of trust after reconciliation followed up by the rescission package. But there's still some things that we need to do in a skinny farm bill, and I recognize that, and I'm at the table.
Thank you. Congressman Finstead, for years it's been said that a farm bill would struggle to pass out of Congress if the nutrition title was not a part of it. Given what's transpired this year, what it will be the fate of future farm bills? Are you worried that another farm bill may never be passed.
So great question, Mark. I will tell you, if a common sense farmer wrote the farm bill, the title would be called Nutrition Bill. Over a 10-year span, the farm bill is about $1.6 trillion of spending of your tax dollars. Out of that $1.6, $1.7 trillion, $1.2 trillion of that is the nutrition title, and about $400 billion over 10 years is the farm component. Again, common sense would say, well, that's not a farm bill, that's a nutrition title with a little bit of farm program in it. And so the coalition can't be one-sided. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us as farmers and as the ag groups, the commodity groups, to get back on offense. And you all are involved in the most honorable, noble profession that this country has ever seen. You are called to feed and fuel your neighbors. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. We shouldn't be afraid to scream that from the mountaintops. However, we are at a point in our nation's history where there is less than 2% of us that are involved in feeding and fueling our neighbors. So 98% of our neighbors aren't involved in what we do. And I would say we have lost that generational connection to farm country. I mean, look around your families, look around your neighborhood, look around your neighbors. Grandma and grandpa, I have a lot of friends that, grandma and grandpa used to live on a farm, and then my aunt and uncle had it, and now they've sold it and moved on, and I don't have that connection to our farm anymore. We are seeing that more and more and more and more. So it's really important that we start telling our story a little bit louder, a little bit more bolder, being not afraid of the fact that we are in a very honorable, noble profession. When it comes to the coalition, again, I think we just have to ask common sense questions like, all right, this coalition that's been somewhat together for 20 years, since 2019, when we've seen a 90% increase in SNAP funding and the farm programs have not even seen anything close to that, who's winning in that coalition? I would say the nutrition folks that are at the table on that. And I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. I'm just saying when it comes to a coalition and how you work to get bills passed, sometimes you have to ask yourself, who's all around this table and what is their motives? Now, I will tell you from Congress, from being in Congress, I mean, it's important for us, like Angie mentioned, to find the areas where we can agree on things and work to see those through the finish line. And we're working more and more on that all the time. We're going to give Angie a second shot at voting for a farm bill. The first time she didn't like it and voted no, but she'll vote for the second one, I think. I think we can get her there. Last Congress, it was a farm bill, and it was in the Ag Committee, and you voted no. The opportunities that we have in front of us, from an agriculture perspective, are unique, and they're ever-changing. And so I think it's healthy for us to revisit the coalition and how we get things done. If you look at the last 3 years, and I'll just close with this, we have struggled to get a farm bill through the Congress. We got it through the committee, as I just pointed out. There was a bipartisan vote on that. We did have a few Democrats on the committee that voted for it. We couldn't get it through the House, and a big hurdle with that was the fight over the nutrition title and the farm programs. And so because of this great coalition that everyone has said is our ticket to get a farm bill done, it was the very thing that actually prevented the farm bill from happening. And so I think as we go into the future, we just have to ask ourselves, is it working? And if not, how do we change it? And how do we create an opportunity and a pathway for success going forward?
That's the dialogue between Representative Craig and Representative Finstead from FarmFest about the opportunity for a farm bill. I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Yeah.
Who says Halloween only lasts one day? With Wayfair, one night of Halloween becomes a whole season at home. From larger-than-life yard decor and moody lighting to festive accents for every room in the house, Wayfair has what you need to make Halloween feel like magic all in one place. Because the best Halloween memories aren't made in just one night. They're made all season long. Shop Halloween decor now at Wayfair.com. That's Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80 plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
"You with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. The next conversation I want to highlight from FarmFest is about trade and making sure that trade is balanced. The conversation you'll hear includes Randy Spronk. He's the immediate past chair of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, a Minnesotan. Chad Willis, former past chair of U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council and a Minnesota corn grower. And Darren Johnson, president of Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. They talk about the importance of these markets, how markets are developed. And I think this is one of the values of FarmFest and amplifying the conversations from ag economy back to the Twin Cities. Why is trade so important? Why is value-added product so important to our farmers? Farmers have found ways to add this values to our products. And even today, you should know that with high tariffs, pork products still have the highest value of any pork imported to China. That makes it valuable for China, but it makes it more valuable for the U.S. One thing that you may not know, and I've never really talked about much, is that much of my undergraduate studies was about free trade in the Western Hemisphere, from the North American Free Trade Agreement to other issues related to trade. And so it's really interesting here, 30 years after college, to watch and see how trade amongst the hemisphere for ag products is still something that is moving. The final discussion you hear is from Luke Lindberg. He's the USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture. And he's appointed by President Trump. And so you hear from his words as a trade expert, his strategy in thinking about new markets for ag. Here's that conversation.
Thanks, Don. Great question. First of all, I do want to recognize checkoffs, not only national, but state checkoffs, our corn and soybean checkoffs in the state of Minnesota. And just to kind of tell a little more, we do actually try to bring it back to the farm level where what's the value per bushel. On the 2024 data, actually, the export of red meats internationally, so this is just exports, it's worth about 13% of the value of a bushel of corn. It's about 59, 60 cents that exports, animal agricultural exports, mean to that bushel of corn in Minnesota here. On the soybean side, it's about 13.2%. It's about $1.46. So that marketing through U.S. meat, red meat exports is valuable to me as a crop farmer when I'm in Minnesota here. So thank you to our corn and soybean checkoffs within the state here. I think really, I just returned from Guatemala City, was on a U.S. meat export federation international trip. We talk about Latin American product showcase. We do it biannually. It's actually the showcase that we use to be able to bring in U.S. pork, U.S. beef, and U.S. lamb products and show it to Central and South America. And there again, we think that that ability, anytime when U.S. meat exports, we actually have a level playing field where we aren't out of line on tariffs, and we can remove the non-tariff trade barriers. U.S. products do sell. U.S. products do move. We can see it from the history of our beef and pork checkoffs over the last 10 years that it is very valuable to us.
Thank you so much, Randy. We've got so many Minnesota folks that have taken leadership roles. Next up on our panel, Chad Willis, farms out of the Wilmer area, past chair of U.S. Grains Council, past leader of the Minnesota Corn Research and Promotion Council, director there. Chad, again, honored to have you with us today as well. Whether it's USMEF or the Grains Council, the goal always is to build those relationships with our international buyers. How do you see our role today in the world when it comes to those trade relationships?
Well, thank you for that question, and thank you, Minnesota Corn, for having me up here on this panel. I think the relationships we have, Minnesota Corn funds U.S. Grains, uses our your checkoff dollars to fund U.S. Grains. We fund USMEF. Anyway, you know, we like to value add in Minnesota, whether that's ethanol or walking the corn off on the hoof, and USMEF helps do that. So we see the benefit in funding those organizations. Along with what was already talked about, the extra funding in the Big Beautiful Bill for trade promotion. When I was chair of U.S. Grains, I got to travel overseas and got to meet with our foreign ag service offices and saw how we work together, utilize farmers' dollars along with federal dollars, and that's what these programs do. There's a couple other programs in the past, ATP money, back when we had the trade issue with China that former President Trump at that time issued, and U.S. Grains utilized that money, and we were able to really get the ethanol market in around the world started. The ethanol promotion was huge with that money that we were able to get. So that's why I'm glad to see this extra money now for promotion in the Big Beautiful Bill, as they call it, because it'll help organizations such as U.S. Grains and Soybeans Meat Federation to do more overseas. Trade is all about relationships, and we need to keep that relationship with our customers and build new ones. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Again, pleased to have with you you with us. Darren Johnson also with us. Farms at Wells, Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken, president of the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. We've been through a period of some uncertainty here as we've gone through negotiations and the tariff discussions. From a farmer perspective, right at the boots on the ground level, how do you see that environment impacting your short-term and long-term decisions on the farm?
Yeah, well, thank you. First off, thank you, everybody, for having me here today. Appreciate it. This is a great panel, and it takes all these organizations to work together as a team to get some of these trade deals done and to the finish line. For us on our farm, you know, on all 26,000 farmers in the state of Minnesota, I mean, it's been a huge impact short term. You know, we gotta look at it a little differently. We're kind of in that space right now, we'll call it, where the markets have been impacted just because of, you know, unfortunately, we've used uncertainty way too much in the last 3 years. You know, trying to get a farm bill done. You know, so we're in a space right now where we need to get some certainty back in these markets. We need to make sure that our trade partners know which direction that we're moving forward with this. So, it, like Chad said, it's all about relationships. I've had the opportunity to go over to China and also the Philippines, and I've been to South America as well. So I've had several buyers and crushers on my own farm who actually I've actually had the opportunity to visit with them on their side in their crushing plants in China, in the Philippines. And really, it truly is about relationships. And we're still continuing to move that forward. And we understand that the trade deals need to be negotiated, you know, from NAFTA or USMCA standpoint. You know, that goes back to the early 90s, right? So, I mean, there's been 35 plus years that's been renegotiated. It was renegotiated several years ago, and I believe it was going to be USMCA was going to be up in 26 as well. So we know that these trade deals need to be negotiated, and it needs to be, you know, something where I love that the undersecretary said that farmers and farm organizations are going to be involved in them, because I think that's very important too, so we can bring some of that that knowledge forward and have them discussions.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Undersecretary, if I can bring you back into the conversation, I look at these trade agreements over time. It seems like it took years to put together a free trade agreement, and under President Trump, it's like we've put that timeline on steroids. We've really changed that whole process. These are framework agreements that we have in place. How confident are you that these, how they advance forward, and how is agriculture at the table in this process?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, because I want to make it abundantly clear that I've sat down personally during my nomination window with Ambassador Greer, who leads the U.S. Trade Representative's function. He's a cabinet secretary individual that is in charge of negotiating these agreements. And he told me unequivocally that agriculture will be in a part of every single one of these agreements, that it is a non-negotiable not to include agriculture at the table. Secretary Rollins has already been overseas multiple times and has a pretty robust trade agenda herself. I don't think you've seen a Secretary of Agriculture who has more interest or more of an early plan to get overseas with farmers and put them in the rooms than you have with Secretary Rollins. I can tell you, I met with my team this morning. Two quick things from that. One, they've got an aggressive trade schedule for me too. So I'll be heading overseas shortly here myself, it sounds like. As well as, I just want to comment briefly on the last point made, is that in my first meeting with the team, one of the key outputs from that was that we need to bring in the collaborator groups early on. And so we're going to be announcing coming up here a series of roundtable meetings with collaborator groups to begin to get them to come in and advise us on what it is we need to be focused on. This is very much going to be a business-driven, farmer-driven process. I don't pretend to have all of the answers. We need you all to weigh in and give us input and be at the table with us. And I think my experience in South Dakota was very similar. We had South Dakota corn and South Dakota pork and South Dakota beef all on our steering committee that advised us every year on where we should be taking trade missions, on where we should be expending resources to help advance opportunities overseas. That's why our team went to Mexico this year, was because we heard from the commodity groups that this was an important market that we needed to invest in. I plan to bring that same logic and thinking to my role in Washington. And so early on here, we're gonna begin to see these roundtable discussions to get exactly the information that we're talking about here today to make sure we're doing it right, because we need to have the farmers with us through the whole process.
I'm curious, just to follow up, you talked about, you got some marching orders to be heading out very soon. Probably can't get into specifics, but are there parts of the world that you see that are priorities that we need to be really on top of your list?
There are, and I will tell you that I don't have a schedule put together yet, but there's some proposed ideas. To me, it makes the most sense to have a cohesive plan for the government, right? This is not always normal government speak, but the idea that when we negotiate a new trade agreement, we now have new market access that is unexplored. So to me, we should be redirecting our resources at those markets where we have new opportunities. I would say if farmers had more of a chance to sell a large amount of soybeans to a specific market, y'all probably would have already done that by now, right? But when we can negotiate better access, or we can tear down a trade barrier or a non-tariff barrier that exists, that's new access opportunity that didn't previously exist. And so I would love to see us track alongside these trade agreements so that we put farmers on the ground in those countries early on. Because one, that gets us a chance to get those dollars and those new deals done. The second reason that's really important to me in that is that if these countries start to backslide, and I don't think they will, but there is a history of countries not living up to their deal terms on trade agreements. If they start to backslide, I would love to know that early on so that we can go ahead and elevate that to our friends at the White House. And I'm sure President Trump, full confidence, would be happy or willing and interested in addressing those backsliding countries early on in the process. So it's really making sure that people begin to live up to those agreements as soon as possible.
Thank you, Luke.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. Before we get to the take this week, I want to play one more excerpt from FarmFest, because I think it's important to show the link between higher education and the future workforce, the future products that come from higher education, and what it means to the future of ag in Minnesota, but also to our economy. As a reminder, agriculture is the second largest driver of Minnesota's economy. It's critical. You think about the headquarters companies that are here, like General Mills and Land O'Lakes and CHS and Cargill. Ag is part of our fabric of the state, and higher ed is important for the future of that. Here's a discussion at FarmFest with Bev Durgan and Brian Burr from the University of Minnesota.
Bev, I want to turn to you because you brought up 50,000 kids in 4-H, students in 4-H. What do they see as their future? Because as I think of my kids, they had these life experiences before they figured out what they wanted to do. And so 4-H is one of those life experiences that exposes them more to ag than other kids in the state. So what do they see? What do you know about that group of kids?
I think one of the things that we've learned from 4-H and working with them is that youth now make decisions about what they're going to do with their career much earlier than we think they are. They do. And so we have to really be talking to youth, you know, fifth and sixth graders, to talk to them about opportunities for careers. And they do change their minds, you know, that's what they get to do, but it's to help them think about what are some of the opportunities. And I'll just give you one example of a new program that we have that's really been a collaborative program with ag community, is that we were approached by the Minnesota corn growers and the Minnesota soybean growers about a need that they're seeing in the field for agronomists, that we are just not training enough agronomists to do the independent crop consultants, but also to work in those co-ops and to really provide that educational need out in the field. So the Minnesota corn growers were the ones that first stepped up to develop a new program to revitalize our agronomy program. That program has taken off. We have helped to develop a national crop scouting program for 4-H. We held the regional program on the St. Paul campus just a couple weeks ago. And this program has really developed from the commitment of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, the soybean growers, and the independent crop consultants that actually act as mentors for these students. So the students get to work in the field with crop consultants to go to the field to see what that job is, to job shadow them. And again, it gives them that exposure of what agriculture is. You know, who knows what an agronomist is if you, you know, if you don't know an agronomist. And so those are the kind of programs that are very successful. All of these 4-H'ers may not be, you know, may not become an agronomist, but they have an understanding that that plant science is a science. It's a place where you could have successful careers, and it's a place where we really were brought. The industry came to us and said, "This is a need. We need to figure out how to recruit students into this discipline." So it's worked very well.
Dean Burr, this is that point where I mentioned in my intro where things just need to fit together and they need to have a certain synchronicity. She talks about agronomy. You have kids who come into CFANS to do research. I was with you for the SEAL Awards this year, where you see former students who are now world leaders in some of this research. The future, as you think of this path, what research
is the university undertaking now and when that you think will be a big part of the future? And how does that plug into the farmers that are here today?
Well, I've kind of alluded to that. And I'm going to back up a little bit to the educational piece of this. And I think I was stoked that, you know, the world will never move as slowly as is moving today in the future. And I think what's happening is, as I was talking about earlier, this accelerating need. And so we this isn't it's not a Christian at all. We talk about disciplines and areas of work. And more it's becoming, and we look at it this way with our students and with our research, how are we developing those things that are coming down the pike in the future? How do we prepare students to be able to learn and understand what's happening? And there's a real risk in that right now. We're seeing in higher ed with AI and generative AI and so on, where you heard the analogy that calculators, you know, AI is basically like calculators were. You didn't have to add numbers anymore by hand. You could use a calculator to do it. What you found was when that happened back then, people couldn't add numbers in their head anymore. Because when those of us a certain age went to school, you had to be able to kind of estimate what the numbers were going to be, add those up. And we're seeing with some of the generative AI now, students aren't learning. They're not learning. When you write something, when you do something, you have a structure in your mind of how you organize it, how you set up the problem you're solving. And so we really think about it, there's the disciplinary part of this that we're focused on, but how do we help students address those issues going forward in 10 and 12 years? And you think about how rapidly that's changing, that ability to learn and adapt and develop those critical skills and thinking skills to do that is really a piece we're focusing on now with students to get them to think about that. You asked the question about research and what's going forward there. You know, as I mentioned, I think overall this element of, you know, robotics, precision agriculture, and again the integration we're seeing across that system from food processing all the way back to, for example, I mentioned earlier biofuels. As we're developing new crops and crop genetics, we're finding new uses in food products, so Plant Protein Innovation Center. And again, it's not one discipline, it's being able to link those together into a system. And I always, you know, also say that early man didn't just wake up one day and start making bread and selecting wheat for that. It took a long time to do that. We're able to do that now in a matter of you know, 1, 2, 3 years, of identify traits that could come into, whether it's biopolymers, whether it's food systems, and that piece for agriculture, of thinking how do we stay in front of that end use with the crops we're using, with the technology we're implementing, is gonna be a real opportunity, because we see more and more of that bioeconomy as it's revving up. Agriculture is at the core center of that, you know, developing those products for sustainability. So that treadmill that we've always talked about, so I was mentioning earlier, earlier research we've done with the technology treadmill in agriculture and agriculture for farmers. How do we help to bring that out through extension? How do we de-risk that for farmers coming along? All those parts are part of that research enterprise we're thinking about.
This week's take is short and sweet. Farm Fest, the state fair, should show the interconnectivity of our state. From healthcare to the Minneapolis mayor's race, our state's success is dependent on all of us. The future workforce will need us to lead now. We need to focus on that in the future and certainly through the next election year. I'll be with Vanita Monday through Thursday at 6:20. You can always follow our stuff at thedailyagenda.com. I'm Blaise Olson. Until next week's take, that's the Sunday take.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.